The Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, Episode 36. Bratislava, the capital of Slovakia, is the only country capital in the world whose city limits touches two other countries, Austria and Hungary. Hey everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about our favorite places in the world, both places we've been to and places we're dying to go. This was a super fun episode to record, and I had an awesome time coming up with my list, as did my special guest, but we really want to hear from you as well. Please let us know your favorite travel destinations by leaving a comment on the show notes of this podcast. The more recommendations for places to go, the better. Before we begin, if you haven't already, make sure to sign up for our email newsletter. You can do that from the computer. You can also do it from your smartphone. And that's going to be the best way for you to stay in the loop and know when new podcasts are released and also when new posts are put up on the blog. You can get that by going to extrapackofpeanuts.com/free. And you'll also receive our gift to you, the completely free Become a Frequent Flyer Millionaire series. I look forward to having you join the community and the email list. And now let's jump into this great interview. Hello, travel nerds, and welcome to the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, the show that teaches you how to travel more while spending less. I'm Trav, the creator of Extra Pack of Peanuts, and with me today is a very special guest, someone who has figured out a way to fit an entire world's worth of fashion into a carry-on, and also the person who helps me dig through bags of trash when I lose my wallet in Paris. My wife and constant travel companion, Heather. Heather, thanks so much for coming on the show today and sharing a microphone with me.
No problem.
All right, guys. Today we're going to be doing a special show because we're currently sitting in our great apartment in Split, Croatia, in the middle of a 2-month trip through Europe. And even though we're only 3 weeks in a trip, we've already both been to a destination that Heather has always wanted to go to most, Paris, and ventured to a place that I've always dreamed of going, Slovakia. So since we've crossed those places off of our top 10 places that we want to go list, we decided it was time to take a look at our list again and see what other places we're dreaming of going to. What we'll be doing is simple. Each one of us has written out a list of our top 5 places we want to go. And to make it more fun, we haven't talked about our list with each other. So we are hearing each other's list for the first time here on the show, which might bring out some surprises. But before we get into the top 5 places we each want to go, we're going to give you the top 5 places we have already been to. We had tons of fun coming up with these lists, and we want you to join in. So if you're listening, please head over to the podcast show notes at extrapackofpeanuts.com and tell us the top 5 places you've been to and the top 5 places you really want to go, because we want to hear from you. All right, we're going to count it down in reverse order from 5 to 1, starting with the top 5 places we've already been. Ladies first, so Heth, you've got the floor, but before you give your number 5, I know there are a few places that just missed the cut, so what have you got as honorable mentions?
Well, honorable mentions for me include England, specifically Bath and the Cotswolds. That was probably my first trip where I got to see a lot of really beautiful historic places because, as everyone knows, America is a newer country, so going to Bath and seeing the old city and the beautiful limestone buildings, it was just gorgeous. So that was one of my top 5 places before I went to all of these other newer places. Also, when I went to Switzerland to visit Travis when he was working there, I loved being in the mountains and also on Lake Geneva. So those were my honorable mentions for the past, I guess.
Yeah, and on my honorable mentions, Bath and Cotswolds just missed out on my list as well. That's in the honorable mention section. I also have Australia in my honorable mention section. We loved our time in Australia. Just was a little too much like America, I guess, to make my list this time. And Italy was also on my honorable mention. That was probably the hardest thing to cut out. We loved Italy. I loved Italy, the food and the places, but it did not crack my top five. And India would be as an honorable mention as the hardest, maybe one of the more rewarding trips we've taken, but not one of the top five places I've been. So, Heth, what is your number five place of the place that you've actually been?
Well, surprisingly, because this missed your list, my top five was actually Australia. And it was a lot like America, but it is a place that I had dreamed of going since I was a child. So to me, living out that dream has to be on my top five of places I've been.
Yeah, and during Australia, we went to Melbourne, Sydney, and Cairns. All were really awesome. Highly recommend Australia. It was a lot of fun. My fifth place is a place that we just went to, and that is Slovakia. I had dreamed of going to Eastern Europe, although that might be considered Central Europe, as, you know, in the last 5-10 years, I've really thought that's really neat. Not a lot of people go there. Slovakia seemed like this exotic type place, and it lived up to everything that I thought. The old castles, the beautiful castles, the great old town of Bratislava, the really good food, the beer halls. I loved everything about Slovakia. So Slovakia comes in at number five on my list.
I am a little surprised about that, as we've just been there, and I did enjoy Slovakia, but unlike Travis, it's not a place I had always wanted to visit. It was beautiful, and it surprised me in how much I did like it, especially all of the cheese. We had some of the best food in Slovakia, so I can understand why it made your top five. And my number four is Portugal. I loved Portugal because we kind of tacked it on at the end of a trip to Spain, and it was not planned, and I had never, ever even thought about Portugal. It was not on my radar at all, and it was so surprisingly beautiful to me because I had done no research about it. I knew nothing, and we went to Lagos, which is on the Algarve coast on the southern tip of Portugal. It was beautiful, the water, the cliffs. Everything about Portugal was so amazing. Going to Lisbon, going up to Porto, Sintra, I just couldn't love it more.
Spoiler alert, I'm not going to talk too much about Portugal right now because that will be on my list later. But my number four was Indonesia. And we were only in Bali and then the island of Bali. We were in Seminyak, kind of the beach area. And then we spent a couple days up in Ubud in the little bit of the interior there. And I absolutely loved Indonesia. It was an awesome place. The beaches are gorgeous. Everything is so cheap. The food was amazing. If we ever do another one of these podcasts, we'll probably do our top five food. So you'll be hearing more about Ubud and the restaurant in Ubud there. Everyone is so relaxed. We rented motor scooters. We didn't have any accidents when we were actually in Indonesia, but we would just take them out to the rice terraces. No one would be around. We'd kind of just wander through these rice terraces, these amazing old temples that you just walked into and there weren't people for miles and you could just explore. So Indonesia is on my list at number four, and I'm definitely dying to go back there.
Yeah, I love Indonesia as well, and it will probably come up on my list a little closer to the top. Not my number three, though, which is actually Cambodia. Travis and I went to Cambodia with our great friends Courtney and Calum, which also made the trip even more fun. But going to Angkor Wat, again, was always on my list of places I wanted to see because I studied history in college and I just thought that Angkor Wat was this beautiful, mysterious place so far away from where we lived in Pennsylvania. So going there was amazing. The whole complex of Angkor Wat, which is so extensive. You could spend days going through all of the park because it's so humongous. And the city of Siem Reap is just a little gritty, but the food was amazing. The people were so nice. We stayed at a great guest house with one of the nicest owners, and it was just a lovely experience.
Yeah, and if anyone is looking for a budget travel place to go, Cambodia really can't be beat. It's super cheap. Siem Reap, the town, is cheaper than anywhere else we've basically been, cheaper than Indonesia, cheaper than Thailand. Angkor Wat itself is a little expensive to get into, but well worth it. We did it for a day, but you could really take the 3-day pass and do it. And we also had an awesome driver named Bunthi. So if anyone is thinking of going to Siem Reap, I recommended him to probably 10 or 15 different people through my website. and everyone has had a great experience of with him. So Cambodia was really cool. We were in Siem Reap. Did not make my top five. Angkor Wat itself would be up there as top five places that I've been or monuments that I've been to. But my number three is Switzerland. And I might be a little biased. I did get to live in one of the most beautiful areas in the world for 4 months when I was working there. I was right outside of Lausanne in a town called Rolle. And it was absolutely phenomenal. We lived on a vineyard. I could walk 2 minutes to Lake Geneva and swim every single day. And Switzerland itself, as most people know, even if they haven't been there, is absolutely beautiful. Interlaken, me and Heather spent a couple of days in right there in the Alps. You can go up to these tiny towns, Gimmelwald and Murin, and stay up there and feel like you've gone back in time. So Switzerland has a lot going for it. I never even went up to Zurich up that high, but or even out to the Italian part of Switzerland, other than just drive through. But Switzerland is just phenomenal. The one thing that is tough on travelers in Switzerland is the fact that it's super expensive. Even still, it's definitely number three on my list.
Yeah, it's an amazing country. And I did have it in my honorable mention, so I can understand why it was on your list. It does hold a really nice place in both of our hearts, especially because we got engaged right before Travis went. And it was just really exciting to take that first trip together as a more serious couple, I guess you could say. My number two is actually Italy, which surprised me a little bit. I loved Italy so much, maybe because it's an easy country to travel through, and some of our other travels are a little bit more on the rough side. We stayed in beautiful apartments the whole time with Go With O, and it was just so easy and wonderful. The food was amazing. The history was amazing. I really enjoyed Italy. We went to Venice first, which is a good city. We went in January, so it was a little chilly, but of course, there were not very many tourists, so we got to see and wander through all of the little canals and alleyways without very many other people being around. So that was an experience that was just kind of surreal because it wasn't crowded. Then we went to Florence, which Travis and I both fell in love with. It's a small city. We had a great walking tour where we tasted some local food and wine. It was great drinking wine at 10 o'clock in the morning, not something that we usually do, but hey, when in Italy. Then we ended the trip in Rome, which was also, a lot of people give Rome a bad rap because it's very touristy, but we were just so surprised with how friendly everyone was, the tours that we went on, the places that we saw. It was just a great experience.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised now that I think about it that Italy didn't make my top five. For the food alone, two of the best places I've ever eaten, the best sandwich I ever had was in Florence, and the best gelato I ever had was in Florence. And one of your favorite places to eat in the world was in Rome at a pizza place. And again, we won't give all these the names of these places away because we'll do another podcast at some point. But Italy, definitely really cool, really easy to get around too. So if someone is traveling through Italy, super easy to get by train from everywhere. If you rent a car, you can go out to the countryside more, but trains will connect all the major cities and even the little towns throughout the countryside. So a really easy travel experience, but a really cool, authentic travel experience. I know it's high on a lot of people's list of places they want to go or places they've been. So Italy is a great country. My number two is one that Heather already mentioned, Portugal. I absolutely loved everything about Portugal. We had gone from Spain and we decided we had to get back up to Madrid. And instead, we were on the southern coast of Spain. And instead of just going back up to Madrid, we said, why don't we drive west and then just drive straight north up the coast of Portugal? So we went to the Algarve coast. Again, it was super off season, so there was no one there, but it was some awesome scenery. And then we went up to Lisbon and Porto, both amazing cities. Porto is so pretty, maybe one of the prettiest cities we've ever been in. Good food in each of them. Definitely a lot cheaper. Spain and Portugal as a whole, a lot cheaper than some of the other parts of Western Europe. So that was really nice that you could, you know, kind of afford to do things, whereas London and Paris and stuff like that are a little more expensive. But I absolutely love Portugal. I could see myself staying there for a couple months at a time just because it was so laid back. The people were nice. There's some amazing places to visit in the countryside that even we didn't get to touch. And then, like I said, the cities themselves were easy to navigate and there was so much to do that it really felt again, an easy travel experience, but an authentic travel experience. A lot of people are coming to Portugal now, but it's still not overrun like a lot of other places in Western Europe. So if you get there soon, you're going to have a little more of an authentic, I guess, Portugal-type experience. So that would be my number two, Portugal.
So the big reveal, my number one place, has already been mentioned by Travis, and it is Indonesia. We went to the island of Bali, and I absolutely fell in love. I am a beach girl at heart. Growing up, you know, on the East Coast, we love our East Coast beaches. Travis loves the Jersey Shore. I love the Maine coast.
Not that Jersey Shore.
Yeah, the nicer Jersey Shore. I love Thailand and all of Southeast Asia. We've been to Thailand many times. It almost made my top five list, but Indonesia holds a different place in my heart because I just felt like the area of Ubud that's in the middle of Indonesia is so incredibly beautiful and vibrant, and there are just beautiful trees everywhere and temples that are just some of them lying in ruins, and you can just walk through them, and it's just an amazing place to be. The culture there, especially in Ubud, has a very big art influence. There are galleries everywhere. The artisans, the homemade crafts, the wood, the textiles, it just was so beautiful. And I can't even explain and find enough adjectives to describe how much I really truly connected with that part of the world. And then, of course, the beaches there, as Travis mentioned, are just absolutely beautiful. So that's my number one.
Yeah, you may find a lot of Aussie bros and eat, pray, love women in Bali, but don't let that dissuade you from going. There's plenty of places that you can go away from those beaches, away from Kuta, and get into the interior a little more. And we didn't even do a ton of that. But even just getting to Ubud gave you an example of what the rest of the island of Bali was like, and just really cool experience. A lot of people go there and stay there for a lot longer than they ever thought they would stay because they just fall in love with the easy, laid-back lifestyle, cheap food and drink and great food. So we will definitely be heading back to Bali at some point. So that will be a place that Heather will enjoy going back to, and I will enjoy going back to as well. My number one, in a similar vein to Indonesia, is Thailand. Me and Heather are split on Indonesia versus Thailand. I don't think you can go wrong with either one of them. We've been to Thailand twice now. Each time we went up to Chiang Mai in the north for about 5 days each. An awesome city, second biggest city in Thailand, but totally different from Bangkok. Again, I keep using this adjective, but it's really laid back. It's really chilled out. Good food, a decent expat community. So if you are someone who's looking to kind of hang out there, and we've mentioned this a little bit in other podcasts, it's a good base for someone to have. And then, of course, as you go south, the beaches are phenomenal. You can go to the East Coast, and we went to Koh Phangan, not our favorite place. We both also got in scooter accidents there, so maybe that's a reason. But Koh Tao is great for snorkeling. And then if you head out to the West Coast, you have Koh Lanta, Koh Phi Phi, just some of these amazing islands. Another guy that we had on the podcast, you guys probably remember, Stuart McDonald from Travel Fish. If you are looking to go to Indonesia or Thailand, check out his site. He knows all the different islands. But Thailand, again, great food, great people. Not as hard to travel through as some of the other Southeast Asian countries. So if you are going for the first time, it's a good place to start because it is a pretty well-worn tourist trail. But you can get off that and you don't have to be around all tourists all the time. It's just a really cool place to go. And one of the first places we went to where I really felt, man, this is completely different than anywhere that I've ever been. And it just kind of stuck with me and struck a chord with me. So we'll be going back to that part of the world pretty soon, to Southeast Asia, because again, there's obviously for both of us, it's our favorite place that we've been, whether it's Indonesia or Thailand. Again, you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah. And just to add a couple more thoughts to the whole Southeast Asia, there are so many fun activities, not just lying around on the beach, but a lot of trekking opportunities. When we were in Bali, we didn't have enough time to do this, but Indonesia has the most volcanoes of anywhere in the world, and you can rent bikes and bike all around and take all of these great trails. And that's something that I think a lot of people would really enjoy. And also in Thailand, there are tons of adventure sports. I went zip lining up in Chiang Mai again with my friend Courtney, and we had such a blast doing that. Really well-run tourist, I guess, attractions, but it's still really fun and I think deserves a good mention.
Yeah, and if you haven't listened to other shows, we've gone into kind of the cost of things, but just to give you an idea, you can do these trekking tours for way less than you would ever do either in the U.S. or a lot of people go to New Zealand to do these adventure sports or Switzerland. It's super expensive because those are expensive countries, but you can do things. I think we paid $30 per person or $20 per person for a whole day of riding elephants and then hiking through these villages and then taking a little wooden raft down a river. I think Heather paid about $50 for her flight of the Gibbon, which was a zip lining thing through the forest and all. So
actually, that might have been $80 because I remember it being a bit of a splurge. But that being said, it was one of the best well-run tours. It felt very safe and very comfortable.
Right. If you want a cheaper one, you can be on Koh Phangan and go down that zip line of the guy before the forest. I think it's like $3 and it's made out of clotheslines. So you can do it really cheap, but you might die.
Oh my gosh, please don't do that.
So there you have it. Those are the top five places, top 10 overall, but top five places that each one of us have been. And hopefully that gives you some ideas of some places that you might want to go. Again, we want to hear from you. Leave in the comments, please, some of the top five places you've been, because I think that's going to really help other people get an idea of places they might want to go, other dream destinations that they haven't thought of. Now we're going to flip it around and talk about the top five dream destinations that we want to go with, starting with any honorable mentions. So, Heth, if you have honorable mentions, try not to take too long here. I'm sure there's a bunch of places we both want to go, but what are some honorable mention places you want to go next?
Okay, I have to say that the top four places I want to go next were actually pretty easy, but the fifth one I did have a hard time picking. So some of my honorable mentions were Amsterdam, maybe we'll be going there on this trip that we're on right now, maybe not, but I think that's obviously a really cool city. Everybody loves it. You can't hate Amsterdam, apparently. So that's one of my honorable mentions. Also going to back to Italy, but to different areas. I wanted to go to the coast, like Cinque Terre and Positano and all of those beautiful places, Tuscany. So the areas that we didn't hit in Italy, I would like to go back and do. Also, an honorable mention, I'll just throw it out there really quickly, is Greece. I think that that's a beautiful country. Being here in Croatia right now is giving me this whole bug for this area of the world. So I definitely would love to go there. So to my actual fifth place.
Wait. I got to sneak in here real quick and get my honorable mentions in.
Oh, sorry.
So a few honorable mentions for me. One of them would have to be a road trip around the U.S. I've never actually done a trip around the U.S. I've hit different states and different cities and all, but I want to be able to take a road trip across the country in some way. I've always dreamed of doing it not in a motorized vehicle. So we're talking about biking, walking, definitely not running because I couldn't do that. I have this dream of elliptigoing around the U.S. So if anyone doesn't know what an elliptigo is, look it up. You can imagine me out there elliptigoing across the U.S. So that's an honorable mention for me, something I really want to do. Another honorable mention for me would be Istanbul. It was on my list a little while ago. For whatever reason, not its own fault, it's fallen off just because I've become enchanted with some other areas.
Interesting.
But Istanbul is another place that I would really, really love to get to at some point. So those are my two main honorable mentions, I guess, along with everywhere else in the world that I want to go. There isn't really a place that I don't want to go, but those are the two main ones at this point. So, Heth, all right, now you can jump in. What is your number five?
My number five is Brazil. I think that the country would be very exciting. I think it's becoming more touristy as the years go on, but still, I think going to Rio, seeing the beautiful beaches, the culture, the history, I think it would be an interesting place to go.
Interesting, because we may be going to Brazil in June. We have a tickets booked down there, not tickets booked back yet. So Heather's still deciding whether she's going to be going with me or not, because there's a few things at home she might have to do instead of that. But we may be crossing off your list quite soon, Heth.
Yeah, that would be awesome either way. I'll get there eventually.
All right, my number five is going to surprise everyone, including you, Heather, because this is brand new. It actually just came up in the last couple of days as I was making this list. and that is Transylvania in Romania. So I told you I really wanted to get to Slovakia. I really wanted to get to Slovenia. Actually, Ljubljana in Slovenia was my number one place. Now it's moved to honorable mention because I've at least gotten to this part of the world and seen Slovakia, which, you know, close enough, right? So I really am just in love with this central to Eastern Europe. So I want to keep pushing further east. A lot of people, the only thing they know about Transylvania is Dracula. I don't know much more about Transylvania than that, except that I was just looking up a few of the world's awesomest castles, and there seems to be a lot in Transylvania. So I definitely want to head further east into Romania, going to Transylvania. It's, according to Wiki Travel, much cheaper than some of the other similar places that you could go, Austria, Switzerland, with similar topography and geography and all. So I am really looking forward to eventually pushing further east, getting into Romania, and hitting up the Transylvania region. Heth, the look on your face says it all.
Well, this truly does surprise me, as our first venture into this part of the world was Slovakia. And as I said, I did enjoy it. But yeah, we'll see what happens with this.
As Heather likes to say, she is Western Europe and I am Eastern Europe.
It's very true. And this man does love his castles. I don't know why, but he really loves castles.
Yeah, so I've got a bit of a West or Eastern European edge to me. I like good value. I like cheaper things. I like kind of this, I want to kind of an exotic, oh, not a lot of people have been there. If you tell someone you're going there from home, they kind of look at you funny, like, well, Bratislava, what the heck is that? As opposed to when we told people we're going to Vienna, where everyone's like, oh, Austria, that's really neat. Then I tell them I'm going to Bratislava. They look at me like I have five heads. Those two cities are literally an hour away from each other. So pretty funny. I kind of like that more, I guess, crazy. It's not that crazy, but a crazy type vibe.
Outside the box.
Yeah. All right, Heth, what's your number four?
My number four is Turkey, actually. I'm surprised that it's not on your list anymore, especially since last year we were really considering going there when we went to Spain and Portugal, even though they're not close at all. But for whatever reason, we were thinking about going there. I think that Turkey is a beautiful country, whether you're on the part that's the Mediterranean Sea or if you're going to Cappadocia, where you can go in a hot air balloon over these amazing rock formations, which Travis actually used to be obsessed with a couple of years ago. but as you can see, he changes his mind quite frequently, especially when it comes to travel. He never stops thinking about the places he wants to go. So it's ever changing.
I should say that I definitely still want to go to Turkey. That just because it didn't make my top five, I mean, it made honorable mention. That's saying a lot. So, yeah, okay, very cool. My number four is going to be Buenos Aires, Argentina. Again, this and Ljubljana, Slovenia used to be 1A and 1B. They've both kind of fallen off a little bit. Again, I go through some cycles of things that I want to see. But I really want to get to Buenos Aires, Argentina. A little bit of a cheat here. I'm going to throw in a visit to Uruguay as well. They're right next to each other. So, come on, that counts. I've just always wanted to go to South America. We've never actually been down to South America. As I said, we may be going to Brazil in June. The issue with getting to Brazil and then Argentina is you need visas for both countries. They're pretty prohibitively expensive, about $200, $250 each. So it's not like you can just cross over the border and then hang out in Argentina. If you're an American, you definitely need a visa for there. But Buenos Aires, everyone I talk to who's been there raves about it. You know, they say it's like a little Western Europe kind of in South America. I think that'd be a great starting point, a really cool city to see. And then I'd love to get out into the Argentinian countryside. Of course, Heth would love to go to Mendoza and drink her body weight in wine and stuff like that. So
you know me too well.
So Argentina with a little side trip in the Uruguay there, go to the beaches, maybe see Montevideo and things like that. Definitely is a place that I'm looking to experience pretty soon. So that is my number four place that I want to go.
Well, not surprisingly, my number three place is not somewhere Travis has mentioned, but it is in South America. I am dying to go to Peru. I want to see Machu Picchu. I want to trek up there. I want to take a million photographs. And I think it's an amazingly beautiful place that is still I mean, becoming more and more popular to visit, but again, one of those places I've always wanted to see, and reading about history through college, just one of those places.
Yeah, Machu Picchu right up there for me. Let's throw that on the honorable mention list, because I've already had my top five. I can't put that in there. So even if I forgot about it, Machu Picchu will come get you soon enough. My number three place is, I can't have a list without an amazing beach. I am a bit of a beach bum. I love just hanging out on the beach. So my number three place, and this is brand new as well, because about, let's say a month ago, I had heard about it, but I couldn't even really have pinpointed on a map until I helped someone book a trip there and started looking into it. And that is the Seychelles. And that is our island right kind of dead south of Abu Dhabi. And I just was, most of these kind of exotic islands, you talk about the Maldives, you talk about Fiji, you talk about Bora Bora, French Polynesia, they're super, super expensive to go to. And there aren't really many budget options. So, you know, for something to make my list, it has to be somewhat feasible for us, and spending $600 a night on an overwater bungalow, not feasible. So when I was looking at the Seychelles, one of the things that really hit me was that there are affordable options. The government has done a lot with ecotourism and kind of promoting people to go there. So there are, you wouldn't call them budget $20 a night options, but I actually, the lady that I helped book a trip said that she booked many things through Airbnb to go with the Seychelles. So there is more options to fit every budget. Of course, you have the really expensive options, but we'd be looking to go to Seychelles and, you know, spending not near as much money as we would to go to some of these other places. They're absolutely beautiful. Again, there's a big emphasis on ecotourism, so there's tons of hiking and biking and all this stuff to do around the islands rather than just lay on the beach, which, of course, you know, I would be doing that too. So the Seychelles, I would love to go to. That's number three on my list. And you can actually, for all those frequent flyer mile nerds out there, you can get there fairly easily using your miles. And I was able to help a lady book a trip. They used American Airlines miles, and they were able to fly on Etihad Airlines, which is a partner of American Airlines, from Abu Dhabi to the Seychelles and back. I think it was 20,000 each way. So 40,000 round trip for each person in economy class. It might even be cheaper, I think, if you're able to go through Abu Dhabi and then go back up to Abu Dhabi and you're spending time there. So definitely a place that you can get to for a decent price as well, which is always tough for those kind of remote islands. So Seychelles, number three for me.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. I will gladly go to the Seychelles. Okay, and my number two is in Africa. I have been dying to go to Kenya because I think that all the traveling that we do, a lot of it is just for us. But going to Kenya, we have a couple different friends who work with different organizations there to give back to a local community. And that's something that I'm really longing to do right now. And at the same time, after we give back to the community, do some fun things for us, such as go on a safari tour. I also would love to one day climb Mount Kilimanjaro. So I know that Travis does not love hiking as much as I do, being that he gets altitude sick, and I had to pull him literally to the top of Mount Fuji in Japan. But I think I could convince him to get up to the top of that mountain too.
Yeah, Mount Fuji, about one half the size of Mount Kilimanjaro, maybe a little more than half the size of Mount Kilimanjaro. I was in some rough shape by the end, and I passed out at the top from my altitude sickness, queasiness. I was a mess, a bad sight. I looked ridiculous. I didn't even walk around the top of Mount Fuji. I passed out on a volcanic rock and then was told, now you have to walk all the way back down. And Heather did literally pull me to the top, like dragged me by my shirt.
Well, that being said, we did climb Mount Fuji in about 10 hours up and down. We started halfway up the mountain, which everyone or most people do. But if we did Mount Kilimanjaro, it would be more with a guided tour. We would acclimate. I think you could handle it if we took it a little more slowly.
Yeah, well, that does bring me to number two on my list, which, interestingly enough, is a country that is extremely mountainous, one of the highest countries in the world, and that is Bhutan, the small mountainous country. It's tucked between Nepal, Tibet, and India in the Himalayas, deep in the Himalayas. And it's an interesting country because they limit the number of tourists who are allowed to come into the country. So there's no way as an independent traveler that you can come into the country and go around on your own. Every single person has to go as, not, it's not a package tour. You go with a guide from the Bhutanese government. So everything with their tourism is through their government. And you have to pay a set amount for every day that you want to be there. And that amount, off season, it runs about $200. on the season, it runs about $250 per person per day. So it's definitely pretty pricey. That does include everything, though. That includes your guides. That includes any of the trekking and things you're doing, your accommodation, your food. So more or less, it is like a huge package tour, but it's not done through a tour company. It's actually done through the government. And they do that to limit the amount of tourists that come through, which is a pretty cool concept because Bhutan is kind of one of these last unspoiled places on earth not many people go to, and they decided that they didn't want to open their floodgates to tourism and kind of be overrun, so that they enacted this, you know, this policy, which is really neat. So it'd be really expensive to go to, but a really neat country. One of the coolest things that I've learned about Bhutan just in my studies about them is they have a thing called gross national happiness, and that's their national calling card. So instead of a gross domestic product, they actually look at gross national happiness. And they say, we encourage happiness over money. It is a fairly poor country, but it's always rated as the happiest country on earth. So I just think it'd be a really, really neat area. You've seen probably pictures, if you do Bhutan, they'll have these monasteries hanging off the cliffs and stuff like that. So just a completely different place from anywhere on earth. And even though it'd be expensive and I'm very cheap, I would definitely pay for the privilege to going to Bhutan. And it does get cheaper if you stay longer. I think days 11 through 20 are 10% off, and 20 plus are 20% off. So if you do stay for a longer time, if you could ever afford it, it does get a little cheaper. But Bhutan is just a pretty enchanting place to me.
Yeah, that does sound amazing. And I've heard you talk about it before, so I'm not too surprised that it made it on this list. All right, my number one is Morocco. I think that Morocco is a very diverse country because it has it's Muslim. It has a lot of Moorish architecture, but there's also that Spanish influence because it's right across from Spain. And when we were in southern Spain, we went to Alhambra and we saw some of the Moorish influence in Spain. So I think going to Morocco, seeing all of the beautiful places there and the different cultures that kind of mesh together there would be a really amazing experience. Also, Morocco, I think that, again, as with Indonesia, the artisans there, the textiles, the architecture, to me, that seems, from what I've seen in pictures, really something that resonates with me because I love to go to the local markets. I believe they're called souks there. All over the cities, no matter what city you're in, they have these beautiful markets where you can find local goods. And I just find that to be something that's really fun. Of course, I love shopping, much to Travis's chagrin, but at least in these countries, it's quite a bit cheaper. So Morocco is my number one.
Yeah, I'll gladly take you to Morocco and you can shop in the markets if you stop asking for Louis Vuitton bags. All right, my number one. And when we made this list, we said we couldn't go back to somewhere we had been, or it was going to be a top five list of places that we hadn't been to yet, just to kind of make it easier because there's so many places we want to go. So again, I'm cheating a little bit here. I'm going to say that my number one is to camper van around New Zealand. And I would not mind if New Zealand then turned into Australia, which we have already been. So I just love being on a road trip. I love driving. I love getting around countries. And in ways that you can just kind of find these hidden gems where you're just driving and you stop and you pull over and you don't know what you're going to do. And it's just a spontaneous, authentic travel. And one way to do that is obviously through driving as opposed to flying, or, you know, even trains. Trains are cool, but you can't get off whenever you want sometimes. Same with buses. So I just love renting cars. And I think that Australia and New Zealand do it better than anywhere else in the world. Everyone rents camper vans. They take them for a month, 2 months, and they just go anywhere they want. So I definitely would do it in Australia. I would definitely do it in New Zealand. I can't wait to get a camper van and kind of bum around. I've always wanted to own an RV. And since we don't own one, this is like a way to be able to have an RV for a little while and just kind of have this big RV and drive it wherever we want, stop, pull over, sleep, do all that. So on top of the fact that New Zealand is absolutely gorgeous, and my sister spent a lot of time in New Zealand. We've never been there, obviously, but she just raves about it. We have a bunch of Kiwi friends who are always telling us to come visit. So I think it'd be really cool to start in the North Island and go all the way down to the South Island and basically make our way along, you know, what everyone calls like Lord of the Ring land and just do all that. So camper vanning around New Zealand, and then I'd throw Australia in there too. Why not for a couple extra months?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that trip either. I do find it interesting that our top five places we've been and our honorable mentions for that were pretty similar. And now our places we want to go next couldn't really be more opposite. We don't have any of the same countries. And you had quite a few surprises in there for me, including Transylvania. How about you? Any surprises on my list?
No real surprises on your list, Heth. I knew that you always wanted to go to Morocco, and we've talked about Turkey, Kenya, and Peru, I think, are things that would be on my list as well. So I don't remember. What was your number five?
Well, my number five, like I said, was hard to decide. It was kind of Greece or Brazil. So,
yeah, so no real surprise there, but I do think it's cool that we have different places. And Heather's number one up until now was going to Paris, and one of my number ones was heading out here to Central Europe, and it was cool that we were both able to do it, and I think we both enjoyed the other person's top place as well. So it's kind of cool to travel like a couple like that, because everyone has different things they want to do. And then you can, you know, you could do it for that person, of course, enjoy it yourself as well. So some really cool stuff. Heth, thanks so much for coming on the show. I know listeners are probably very happy to finally hear the other side of the story for a lot of our travels.
Well, thank you for having me. I've listened to some of your podcasts, not all of them, because I hear a lot of things firsthand, but I'm happy to be a part of this finally.
Listeners, now it's your turn. Please, please, please weigh in on the top places you've been and the top places you'd like to go. We'd love to hear them. Who knows? Your recommendations will probably even sway my list. Maybe not Heather. She's a bit more set on where she likes to go. I kind of flip-flop all the time. Just head on over to extrapackofpeanuts.com. You can click on the podcast tab, find the episode 36, and leave a comment on the show notes. Again, we'd love to get a discussion going there of places that you want to be, why do you want to go there, and what are some of the places that you've already been that you love. I'm really looking forward to hearing your opinion, guys, and thanks again for tuning into this podcast. Lastly, if you're listening to a travel podcast, that probably means that you want to travel more, and I want to help you do that. And the easiest way for me to help you travel more while spending less is for you to go over and sign up for the Extra Pack of Peanuts email newsletter. And you can do that by going to extrapackofpeanuts.com/free. By signing up for the newsletter, you'll be getting email updates anytime we put up a new podcast, as well as anytime we put up a new post to the site. You're also going to get our free copy of Become a Frequent Flyer Millionaire, which is going to set you on the path of how to start acquiring frequent flyer miles and really start traveling around the world for next to nothing. So extrapackofpeanuts.com/free. You can sign up for our email newsletter. You can stay abreast of everything that's happening on Extra Pack of Peanuts, and I can help you start to travel more while spending less. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in once again to another edition of the Extra Pack of Peanuts podcast. I'll see you next week. And until then, happy free travels.